Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent Roundtable Discussion. We are very glad you could join us this morning. Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2020, and we will begin this morning with our morning prayer.
From page 147 of Miscellany. May this little sanctum be preserved sacred to the memory of this pure purpose and subserve it. Let the Bible and the Christian Science textbook preach the gospel which heals the sick and enlightens the people's sense of Christian Science. This ministry, reaching the physical, moral, and spiritual needs of humanity, will, in the name of Almighty God, speak the truth that today, as in olden time, is found able to heal both sin and disease. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. And the watching point.
Watch number 131. Watch, lest you pray to infinite love and wisdom to remove from your path those experiences which you need in order to increase your understanding and growth. A child may beg its father to let it leave school and have a holiday, or even get a job. But the father knows that the child needs the discipline and the education. Whatever we need to teach us to hold our scientific thought against the false testimony and mental suggestion, God will provide. Never pray to have removed from your experience that which has come to help you. For the moment you learn the lessons such experiences have come to teach, they will disappear. End quote.
Thank you. Any comments on that this morning?
Yes, I feel that whatever it takes, we've made up our mind, we found a way, and we should know that God is with us all the way, and not, you know, because of things that happen that we have to confront, you know, be slow or complain or all this. We should just commit to it. We've decided this is the way, and we'll go no matter what. God with us.
Thank you.
And this is why we demand the blessing from every experience we have. Because there is a blessing in every experience that we have. And regardless of what that experience is, no matter how hard or bad it might seem, the lesson for us is to see more clearly the perfection of God in His creation. And while that is usually a challenge for most of us, what a wonderful challenge and what a great experience it can be if we take it that way.
Thank you. So never despair. And we're going to learn lots of lessons today in this beautiful lesson. It was written by Florence, and so much to it, which is why there was resistance to it. Thank you all for working and praying. So before we get started, Florence was telling me, I guess, I don't know if Day-Day is on, but she had heard some encouraging things going on. Florence, you want to let us know?
Hold on a second. It's just something that Dede heard on our local news, and they were saying that the medical workers, we were talking about the medical workers right now, and one said that there's almost a feeling of medical inadequacy, and the other said that he relies on his faith and prays a lot, as he often goes home wondering if he did the right thing, made the right decision, made the right prescription. And so, I mean, this really clearly shows only Christian Science the way we are, you know, being taught to live it here is final, is the final answer. Nothing else is sufficient.
Thank you very much. These are little signs how it's working in people's lives as we, in our Bible study on Haggai, consider your ways. And God is shaking the nations. Shake, shake, shake. As we've talked about, Mrs. Eddy talks about stirring the feather bed. It has to be. Mortal mind needs to be stirred and shaken. Otherwise, they get complacent and go along the same rutting along, as Bicknell Young says. So, and Gary, someone else. Well, Gary, the bagel bin was open again today, so he has this little story to tell.
Yes, the bagel bin was open, and this time they asked, when they asked if we were having our church service, and I said yes, the response from them was, well, good, that's how it should be.
So that's great progress from the beginning when they were kind of arguing about
it. The last time they asked me about that and I said yes, they said, well, you're not supposed to, right? Aren't the churches supposed to close? Well, this time they were enthusiastic that we were having our church service.
They were also very busy. So awakening is going on. And this is our task right now. It's a spiritualization of thought in mankind. It's nothing more than that. And when we get that right, everything else will be right. Things will open up. People will be turning more wholeheartedly to their Father, Mother, God. The medical will seem not so reliable. It's proof itself. You know, they can't make up their mind. This thing, that thing, it's a rabbit's hole. Only God has the answer, as Warren said. So things are happening and stirring, and they must, they should. And we're going to have just a wonderful Liberator magazine for May. I've been working on, Carol's doing a beautiful job. And what's the title of it, Carol?
The Stewards of Our Freedom.
Thank you. The Stewards of Our Freedom, the Civil War Era. The Civil War Era, yes. And to hear how these patriots turned to God during stressful times and what it brought about. And being a Christian Scientist does not exempt you from stressful times. I hate to tell you the bad news.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Everyone, oh, why? I'm a Christian Scientist. Why am I having this problem?
Exactly. Well, I heard that this week. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, oh, I just want to be free. I just want to be real. Oh, yeah, well, you can be free when you stand and you're not moved by whatever's going on. That's freedom.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. So, our subject today, everyone's favorite, everlasting punishment.
Can I just speak to that desire for freedom? Jesus told us what it takes to be free. A lot of people will say, well, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But before that, he said, follow me. He didn't have it easy, did he?
No.
But he overcame every challenge. And how did he overcome it? Because he knew so clearly that God's creation is perfect, mm-hmm. and that all of these other sidebars were not true. He was not impressed. And that's how we need to be. We need to have the truth so deep in our hearts. We need to have God so close to us that all of these challenges, all of these, you know, miserable situations, we recognize as counterfeits, as not the truth. And that is our freedom.
There's this desire for freedom. Sadly, it's a misconception of freedom. What they're really saying is, I want to be ease in matter. And that is not freedom at all. that's really bondage.
Yeah.
And it's running away from the challenges, as the Watching Point says. You can't run away from the challenges that you need in order to teach you the freedom that is the God-given freedom. Anyway.
Yeah, and that was Parkins. Thank Parkins. A few weeks ago, he brought out that prerequisite about knowing the truth, that it's being a disciple of Jesus and following him, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's important, that the combination of both. Florence?
No, I was supporting what they were saying, that's all.
Good, yes, thank you.
Okay.
So,
didn't mean to interrupt
you. That's okay, that was good, thank you. Lil, you want to read our golden text?
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Yes. So this is an important point. When I first started out here with Mrs. Evans, you know, I was working very hard to cover all my sins. I thought that was the way to go. I pretended they didn't exist. And I had a lot of pride. I didn't want anyone to know about them. And it was really hell. That was everlasting punishment. And it took a lot from her to get me over that, because that was called pride with capital letters, P-R-I-D-E. I needed, finally I got where I couldn't hide all this stuff that was going wrong. It was just out for everybody to see. And that's the humiliation and the humility that must be had. You can't, you know, I remember at the time it was very freeing. It was like, well, welcome to the human race, Mary. you really are better than everybody else. Which was, you know, a terrible attitude that I somehow seemed to develop in being a Christian Scientist. I was supposed to be problem-free. Heaven forbid anybody knew I was having any difficulties. And it was such a burden. It was just so awful. It was such a misconception. So get those problems out in the light of day, because in that way, you're disowning them. You're saying they're not mine. I've been under, you know, listening to the wrong voice. They're not mine. They're not mine. They're not anybody's. So they can be healed.
And when they are, you become an example for those around you. What blesses one, when it blesses you, it blesses all.
Yes, and that's a whole purpose. It's a whole, so you can help others. And if you're so high and mighty, you think you've never had any trouble, well, how can you bless anybody? And that was one wonderful thing about Mrs. Evans. She was very open and free about the troubles that she had had and how she overcame them. And that is how we all must be. And that is why, that's what makes a good testimony. It's not all prideful that I some wonderful thing happened to me and isn't this great and look how great my metaphysics is. It's a sharing of what the troubles you've gone through and how God has helped you. And that having that humility and heart speaking to heart. So very important, as Nancy spoke in her testimony on Wednesday. That's how we reach others. It's in humility, not in this prideful sense.
And that's how God reaches us.
It's the only way. It's the only way. So, Karen, you spoke on the forum this week about the responsive reading. You want to give us a summary?
Yeah, like was just mentioned a little while ago, this is not one of my least favorite subjects over the years, being a Christian Scientist. But I realize now that it really I took it personally, and that's why it seems so awful. But when I really wrote, thank goodness, evil is not allowed to exist. It's everlastingly punished because it doesn't have anything to do with God and His creation. So I just had a whole new sense of it this week. But I paraphrased responsive reading, some of the phrases. And so I paraphrase it this way: unto thee, O Lord, do I set my affection. I trust in thee, for you are good and upright, and acting according to your promise, and leading me in the truth, and teaching me how not to let mine enemies, self-loathing, hate, deceit, fear, discouragement, self-will, etc., triumph over me. You are the God of my salvation, and are teaching me in your own way how to hold thought against false testimony and mental suggestion. Therefore, on thee do I wait. Rest in expectation all the day.
Thank you. This is a very beautiful, responsive reading. My love, we trust in God, therefore you're not ashamed. And on thee, yes, as Karen was reading, on thee do I wait all the day. Do you wait on God all the day, listening for his guidance moment by moment? And then, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. You know, I love, in Watch's Persian Arguments, Mrs. Eddy says a lot about the way, and I'm going to read some of it to you because this was so very helpful to me. In my edition of this book, it was on page 161. Mrs. Eddy saying this: Mother explained this scripture, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss to consume it on your lusts. We ask from a selfish motive, and she illustrated it in this way. If we have a pain, we ask to have it destroyed. Why? Because it makes us suffer. Is this the way? No. We should ask to have it removed because it dishonors the way that God has revealed, and this dishonors God. We ask to have the pleasures of sense destroyed. Why? Because they make us miserable. Is this the way? No. We should ask to have them destroyed because they dishonor the way and thus dishonor God. Then our prayer will be answered because we ask from an unselfish motive and with an honest purpose to honor and love the way that is God's idea. This is the great lesson that he has given to us, that if we would love him with our whole heart and our neighbor as thyself, thus keeping the whole law, we must have the spiritual sense of the way and love and honor his way or idea, the real individual that voices good. With the spiritual sense of this individual and not a material one, and do this by prayerful watching to see that in forsaking the material sense, we love more instead of less, and are ever reflecting this spiritual sense of love, which is all tenderness and compassion and loving kindness, and which is the way, the divine idea of love. Mother explained the difference between a material sense of love and a spiritual sense. A material sense of love dishonors the one it professes to love through lust. As in marriage, the man dishonors the woman he claims to love by taking away her virginity, thereby exposing the falsity of such a sense by showing it is not love, but lust, i.e. hate. Mother said, this is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is, the spiritual sense of love that is slain from the foundation of material sense of sexuality. So that's quite a lesson. And it's the way, the ultimate way. And doesn't this lead us now into the story of David? My goodness, David. So because of lack of time in the lesson, not all of the story was told. And I think it needs to be because there are many examples in here. And we start with 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent his Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. Whoops. Everybody else was out working, out in battle, but not David. This is why man needs to work, right? That's why we have to overthrow this idea and get everybody back to work. Because what is they say? What do they say about idleness?
Devil's tool.
Temptation.
Yep.
Idle mind is the devil's tool.
Yes, it is. And that's not a good thing. And so, Mrs. Eddy says in Pond and Purpose, the advancing stages of Christian Science are gained through growth, not accretion. Idleness is the foe of progress. And scientific growth manifests no weakness, no emasculation, no elusive vision, no dreamy absentness, no insubordination to the laws that be, no lack of what constitutes true manhood. And then, this is a very important statement. If you think there's any other growth going on, remember what Mrs. Eddy says here. Growth is governed by intelligence, by the active, all-wise, law-creating, law-disciplining, law-abiding principle God. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. Good is my God, and God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. So you see, when you get idle and you're not growing in the truth, and you get this dreamy absentness, which obviously David gotten into, and he was a warrior. He was one who was used to working, right? And so here he is. And so then he finds himself, what? What happens?
He's tempted by, you know, just lounging, looking up across where he shouldn't be looking.
He was. He was just looking where he shouldn't have been looking. And, you know, the temptation now today is even greater because we all know about all this porn and things on the internet or in movies. You get where you're looking where you shouldn't be looking. And then, so then, it doesn't just stop there. Okay, first he gets idle, then he starts doing things he shouldn't be doing, and then what happens?
He brings her to the house.
Yeah. He brings her to the house. And now, mind you, this is lust, isn't it? Because he doesn't even know her, so he's just watching her bathing. So, and so then what happens? And the thing escalates, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sends her husband to die.
Yes.
He sends her husband into battle.
Yes.
Where he should not have been.
Yes.
And orders to put him where he would die. That's the sad part. I mean.
Absolutely. All of this thought just took hold of him and just accelerated. And pretty soon there was no stopping him. Now we know that David, look at all that David had done. He'd been a good king. He'd won who slayed Goliath. All of these things. And yet he just let it overrun him, overtake him. And so then what happens?
Well, Uriah dies and then he takes Bathsheba as his wife.
Yeah. And so how does Bathsheba feel about all this?
Well, I don't think it's clear whether she really liked being, but in those days, I'm sure a king says, come and what do you do, you know? I'm sure in her heart, she was thinking about her husband. She didn't know even at that time that he was dead.
Well, and then when the wife Uriah heard that, her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she did love him.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. She didn't really have a choice because David was the king. And so then what happens?
He conceived and had a child, and I don't think it lived.
Yeah,
no.
It died.
The baby dies.
The baby dies.
Even though David prayed that he would die, it was a bit sick. He was taken.
Thank you. Now, these are important points, and these are the points where everybody wants to skip over because it's unpleasant. But we have to face these things. This is why we have the Bible, to study it. It says, first he heard this child was very sick. Then he besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. He did everything that he could to save that child in prayer, and I'm sure in repentance, because at that point he knew because Nathan had told him. And not to skip over that part too, Nathan came and described the situation, and what's David's reply to the description of?
He thought the guy should be killed.
He thought the guy should be killed.
As the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. Honestly.
So what point is that making?
We didn't really see.
You don't see your own sin sometimes. Here he had just done this horrible thing. Nathan's trying to tell him something, and he says, terrible, how awful. Don't we do that? We hear other people sins. Oh, that's just awful. Thank God I'm not like that person. And here he just, I mean, how blind, but you see how error can get hold, a grip of someone. You don't even see what you're doing. And I love it, because after he goes into that, with what Lawrence just said, and Nathan said to David, what?
Thou art the man.
Thou art the man. Yes, it's you, buddy. You. But no, the wonderful thing about David is what?
Humble.
Yes.
Receive correction.
He took it.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did right away. He had this tender heart that right away changed. He was horrified. And you see, because Mrs. Eddy says in the lesson that, what is it about a hardened sinner?
The healthy sinner is the hardened sinner.
Yeah.
And they go on and on in their ways without seeing what they're doing, with great will, trampling over people left, right, and sideways, and eventually come to a huge destruction. But David, this was David's saving grace, and it must be ours too. But sometimes I've struggled with that. I mean, have you ever been told something you don't want to hear? Well, you know, it's hard not to flare up and resist the correction. But David never did. He took it to his great credit. So then he finds out the child is sick. And then he's praying and praying, and he's fasting. No one can even see him. He's just in such a state to save that child. And so then what happens?
The child did die, but yes. Later Bathsheba had another child.
Solomon.
God gave them another child, I would say, after his deep, deep repentance and all.
Yes. But there's one other point here to be made. Sometimes things do not work out the way we'd like them. Is that not true? Have you made every single demonstration in your whole life and everything has been peachy keen?
I don't think we'd be here.
No. So let's see this and say, okay, it's okay. Sometimes things don't work out the way we would like them to. It's all right. You know, maybe someone did pass on. Maybe we didn't get the job promotion. Maybe we ended up with not a good relationship. It's all right. Things happen.
It is all right, because if all I wanted went right, I wouldn't be here. That's for sure.
That's it. That's right.
but also if all I wanted to be right really happened, I would be in a terrible mess because all of the things that I wanted would have left me into a very bad place.
Yes.
But thank God that he had a far better plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's expression, be careful of what you want. We don't always get what we want. We do get what we need. And sometimes those lessons can seem harsh. And I can remember, you know, Mrs. Evans telling me, and this has been a great comfort to me, you know, when I've had someone I loved pass on and I was praying and all of this and it didn't work and she was a good practitioner, you know, they passed on. She said all the work that was done for them, all the prayer and Christian Science has left them light years ahead of where they would have been if those prayers had not have happened. Don't ever forget that. They were not in vain. Just because the end results didn't measure up to what you wanted does not mean that those prayers were in vain. They were not in vain, nor were they with David. So, and the other thing is all this hushed tones. Oh, the Christian Science treatment didn't work. Oh. So, Jeremy, how many people have died in the hospital?
The medical third leading cause of death in America.
There we are. Did you hear that? The medical is the third leading cause of death in America. So all of this, oh my gosh, you know, Christian Science failed. It didn't work. Just zip it. Mm-hmm. It did work. Maybe we don't see, as I said, the results we wish to see, but that doesn't mean it is not working. And it has to work.
And as Mr. Evans used to say, not everybody knows how to work it correctly. Mm-hmm. It works. But sometimes we don't work.
Those prayers were in vain. They were not in
vain. So remember this, because believe me, we've all had problems that maybe did not come out the way we wished. Humble yourself before the Lord. Look what David did everything he could to save that child, and it didn't work. Of course, you know, he had had a, I'm sure that Bathsheba was very troubled during that pregnancy. There was a lot of issues going on, and there usually is. Mm-hmm. Things don't always work out. There are things more to be learned, but it's okay. And don't condemn yourself, because then what happened? What did David do? He was told his child was dead, so what?
And get up and clean stuff off and move forward.
Yes, hallelujah. I thought that was so wonderful. And David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him. And he did eat. Servants were shocked because they wondered, oh my gosh, you know, look at him. The child is just sick. What the heck is he going to do when he finds out the child died? David knew his metaphysics. And all of that, I'm sure, has great meaning. He arose from the earth. He arose from this sense of life and matter. Lusting, all that he'd done. He washed and anointed himself. He purified himself. He knew himself rightly as God's child. He reasserted the truths he knew. He changed his apparel. Got rid of the old garments and put on the new.
Put on the new man.
The new man. And he went forward with what he had to do for God. And then, yes, he was blessed with another son, Solomon. But these points in the middle that we can't always put in a lesson because it takes too much space, but these are very important lessons that David teaches us. So you have a problem that wasn't met or solved. Are you just going to wallow in it for the rest of your life? Are you going to say, oh, science failed me. Oh, I'm going to reject science. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. I'm this, I'm that, and totally incapacitate yourself for further work. Look what David did.
It would be an offense to God if you did.
And the thing is, all of the work that was going on at the time did have some benefit for good. It did do something. So don't throw it all out the window.
No, that's right.
Because one thing that's helped me immensely many times is a passage from one of our hymns. All the good the past hath had remains to make our own time glad. So whatever good there was, it stays. Remember that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. So don't throw it all out just because you've met with some discouragement somewhere.
That's it. I'm sure you see David was learning all the lessons throughout this whole thing. Tremendous lessons, as we all do through when we walk through the valley. And, you know, look at, as was brought out, was Christ Jesus' path easy? Was Mrs. Eddy's path easy? We are not scientists because we just want an easy path. We're Christian scientists because we're warriors for God and we love Him and want to know Him more and more. Who is trying to speak?
Ingrid. Hello, it's Ingrid.
Okay, Ingrid.
What you were saying before reminded me of that wonderful Bible quote, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust or upon whatever it is. And it was so wonderful to always use that quote, knowing that whatever we want or whatever we may think humanly is not going to be good and it's not going to be granted because divine mind has a better plan. And so just wanted to...
Yes, you might have missed the first of the roundtable, but we talked about that. It's in Mrs. Eddy's Watches, Prayers, and Arguments on page 161, entitled The Way. It's most important that what we ask for, we purify our desires. And you see, David's desires at first were very base.
Going maybe a little back, on Science and Health on page 30, Mrs. Eddy writes, in quote, we cannot choose for ourselves, but must work our salvation in the way Jesus taught. In meekness and might, He was found preaching the gospel to the poor. Pride and fear are unfit to bear the standards of truth, and God will never place it in such hands, unquote. I find that very helpful too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We had someone new, she wrote an email to me from California, and she wrote about Psalm 51, and she says, chose the following note in the Bible right after Psalm 51, announcement, and before this text of the psalm, and it's, quote, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And of course, that Psalm 51 is just beautiful. Here he is acknowledging his sins before God, asking of God repentance, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. So Linda and Jeremy, you wrote about that on the forum.
Yeah, the part where he says, my sin is ever before me, that really struck me this week. And it made me think of Christ Jesus saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And also Mary Baker Eddy saying, let your prayer be daily. Reveal to me, O God, my secret faults, every error, every sin. And, you know, I just was I was just trying to see, like, is my sin is ever before me? Is that a thought where you're giving sin power, or what was it? But, you know, I could see after working through it that it was, we can't hide our sin away, and we have to handle it. And I love that same day I was working on this, the calendar statement was, don't skip over a problem, face it and destroy it. So I was really happy about that.
Yes. Yes. Linda?
Yeah, and then it reminded me that if you have to have this, you have to have the sin before you, because Mrs. Eddy in one of the citations says we need to choke these errors. And choke meant stop, obstruct, check growth, or expansion or progress, as to check the spreading of the fruit, to be offended and to take exception. And I was doing yard work, and there was this plant, and it was supposed to be a tree, but it didn't get pulled up. It kept getting mowed over, so it became a bush. And then trying to remove it, it had a root that was like a diameter of 6 inches around. So in the meantime, it looked like you were getting rid of this thing when you'd mow over it, but it was growing underground very deep. And to remove the root is really difficult. So this is what made me think that, you know, if you don't choke and stop in this, if you just do it on the surface, you're not getting rid of it. And this lesson has been a beautiful instruction.
Thank you. Yes, you know, that whole citation 9 from Science and Health is so important. And choke these errors in the early stages. How much better it would have been if David had done what?
Turned away and left.
Yes, hadn't got into this whole mess. So,
or just going to battle.
Just gone to
the work he was here to
battle
do.
Like he should have in the first place.
So, and this, you know, this is why. This is a reminder. When you're tempted to do something you know you shouldn't, just have a flash forward at the results. Okay? That's what I do. I'll flash forward as to what's going to happen if I go down this path and get off the way. And this person from California who wrote me too, you know, that, and it's in the lesson about the sin that David did ultimately was against whom?
God.
And Nathan, in his explanation to David, said, look at all God has done for you. Tremendous. You see, one of the first things that goes out the window is your gratitude. You think you want something more. It's definitely accretion, not unfoldment. You're not satisfied. You're forgetting God. His sin was against God. And David knew that. He knew it. And that is one of the greatest takeaways from this story, was his humility to change on a dime, not to argue, not to fight, not to justify. Why was she out there in the first place? Or whatever. So he humbled himself before God. Are you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say reminds you that's why one of the most important commandments, well, they're all important, but one of the commandments that speaks to motive instead of action is thou shalt not covet. Because that is the motive that leads to the violation of all of the other commandments.
Coveting and jealousy is a very serious sin. And you see, we tend to overlook a lot of these things. And also, thou shalt not commit adultery is what does Mrs. Eddy say about that?
It's just as important as thou shalt not kill.
Thank you. It's just as important as thou shalt not kill. Because look what it leads to. All of this troubles. And in that citation 9 in Science and Health, lust, malice, and all sorts of evil are diseased beliefs. And you can destroy them only by destroying the wicked motives which produce them. If the evil is over in the repentant mortal mind, while its effects still remain on the individual, you can remove this disorder as God's law is fulfilled and reformation cancels the crime. And then the healthy sinner is the hardened sinner. So you see, when you catch it early enough, you can change the course of events. That's why it's good to clear your slate every day, to be in touch with your feelings. So you're not letting these things grow, the carnal mind thoughts grow. You choke them. Don't give them any life. Destroy them so they don't get into this picture. You don't have to have it.
I like that idea too of doing the flash forward or whatever. That reminds me of, I saw this interview with a Hollywood screenwriter once, and somebody asked him, how do you write a thriller? He says, well, just at each point, ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen here?
And then Mrs. Eddie also says, only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. Again, a huge point in Christian Science. Only those who do this can understand that sin is unreal. Because this is another, forgive me, but obnoxious things that Christian Science do. They go around, evil's not real, it doesn't affect me. And they don't have the slightest thing because they haven't gone through this earlier process. If they repented of it and forsaken it, then if once you do that, and I'm sure you'll agree, you'll realize the unreality of it. But not before. You have to go through these steps and process. And then the whole lesson, divine love corrects and governs man. Men may pardon, but this divine principle alone reforms the sinner. So it is a built-in laws. When you sin, you'll suffer till you stop. No getting around it. Not pleasant. But the pleasant part is you can stop sinning and stop suffering and stop your so-called everlasting punishment. So I think it's time.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, okay. So we are going to end with the ending of what Parkins wrote to us from The People's Idea of God, pages 6 to 7.
Periods and peoples are characterized by their highest or their lowest ideals, by their God and their devil. We are all sculptors, working out our own ideals and leaving the impress of mind on the body, as well as on history and marble, chiseling to higher excellence or leaving to rot and ruin the mind's ideals. Recognizing this as we ought, we shall turn often from marble to model, from matter to mind, to beautify and exalt our lives. Quote, chisel in hand stood a sculptor boy with his marble block before him, and his face lit up with a smile of joy as an angel dream passed o'er him. He carved the dream on that shapeless stone with many a sharp incision. With heaven's own light, the sculptor shone. He had caught the angel vision. Sculptors of life are we as we stand with our lives uncarved before us, waiting the hour when at God's command our life dream passes o'er us.
Call recording. This call is being recorded.
If we carve it then on the yielding stone with many a sharp incision, its heavenly beauty shall be our own, our lives, that angel vision. End quote.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.